Robert Dubiel. Robert Dubiel and I have been friends for many, many years now.
Since 2004.
Really? Wow. And we're very, I'm very understanding of your state of mind and what you do and how you think, and I'm going to start the Facebook Live here. Robert's a world traveler, has been for many, many years, and he's gone to Russia more than any anyone I know, actually. You've been to Russia how many times?
7 times.
That's a lot.
That was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, when it was different.
It was transitioning.
It was transitioning, yes. I'm sure it was. You went to Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Yes.
Right?
I love St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Love the north. Kiev is beautiful in the Ukraine. Soviet Georgia. Beautiful place in Tbilisi.
I have never thought of even Kiev. Is it still nice?
That I don't know, but it's a beautiful setting on the Dnieper River. It's older than Moscow.
It's older than Moscow?
Oh, yeah. That was the birthplace of the Russian culture, was in Ukraine.
I didn't realize that.
Vladimir, he forcibly baptized the masses in like 980s.
The original Vladimir,
yes.
not the present, yeah.
Yeah. Putin is named after him, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And you were going because you speak pretty good. You speak Russian.
No, that's not why I was going. I was going to pay karma.
Okay. and you did it.
Intruding metaphysics onto travel. I did. I paid it very successfully on national television there.
What's it like on their national television?
This was pre-capitalism. This was still in the waning days of communism. So there were only 2 channels in the entire country.
Really?
And I was on the morning show of one of them.
I never knew this. I've never heard this story before.
I brought my crystal ball, which I was specifically instructed not to do, but my spirit guides told me to bring it. So the moderator, who was a good host, she said in Russian, I had a translator, what is the meaning of this crystal ball? And I said, now we're going to think thoughts of world peace, and they're going to come into the crystal ball, circle the planet, and come back into the crystal ball. And 20 million people saw this.
20 million?
Yes. I'm sure many of them did the exercise, and that's how I paid my karma.
So was this in Kiev or Moscow?
Moscow.
That was in Moscow.
Yes.
Was there a lot of security at the TV station?
No. Things were very loose, very relaxed there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, it was. There was problems with the visas and the bureaucrats, but no, I never had a problem. I was traveling illegally in the north because you had to have a visa for every city or district you were going to. And I just went up north with friends.
Hmm.
And
you wouldn't do that today.
I don't know if I'd.
I don't think you'd do that today.
I don't know.
I'd
probably get permission.
Yeah.
It would be easier to get permission now.
It's also more expensive. Visas have really gotten rather pricey for Russia. People want to go themselves. That's why people do the cruises into St. Petersburg.
Because you're covered in that blanket visa.
However, if you want to leave the regular shore excursions.
You can't.
Just like the old days.
Yes.
I miss Thanksgiving dinner because I met this kid in the metro, and I bought him a boombox and was delivering the boombox to him in Red Square, but he never showed up. And my tour guide said, "Do you miss Thanksgiving?" I said, "I don't like turkey, you know."
They did Thanksgiving?
For us, yes.
I was going to say, what's wrong with this
picture? Was a tour from Chicago, the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations. It was medieval Russia.
Oh.
And it was semi-political. I mean, we went to the Karl Marx Institute and heard the official party line. And I find all that interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, I love St. Petersburg. I mean, I mainly of course, there's a gorgeous buildings. And, of course, you know, you go to the Hermitage and, my gosh, 3 days isn't enough even, right? I mean, you've been to St. Petersburg, Kathy?
No, twice we were going to go. And when we switched it, our cruise 1 minute, or kind of a last minute thing. And then the second time we were going to go, and our dog got sick, and we got off the cruise and came home
with our dog. Oh.
So we didn't make it.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess people are still going. The World Cup, mm-hmm. you know, of course, happened, and a lot of people showed up in Moscow in spite of all the, you know, turmoil about what our positions are, our thoughts mm-hmm. are, et cetera. It's still an amazing place, and St. Petersburg is still, I think, a popular still mm-hmm. cruise destination.
It is. Yeah, they... And some of the cruise lines, they do like 2 or 3 night stays, like Oceania. But yeah. I did go to the Ukraine about 6 years ago to on the Black Sea, Odessa.
In Odessa. Huh?
That was really pretty.
Yeah.
And
same architecture style as St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Same era.
Sevastopol?
Sevastopol.
Yeah.
In the Crimea.
Yeah.
That's a very old town, mm-hmm. isn't it, as well?
I've never been there.
Oh. Yeah, it was... It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that wasn't a tour? Was that
a cruise?
It was a cruise. Oh, okay.
It's on the Black Sea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Chekhov lived there.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, but that's just Russia, and that always was interesting because you do speak better Russian than
English. Говорил по-русски. I used to speak Russian.
Yes. now I really want to talk. It's been interesting. Now you've been in Thailand, living in Chiang Mai for at least 5 years, 6 years?
Will be 10.
Oh, not. Is it really that
first
long?
First time I went there, January 2009.
Wow.
And I decided that winter that Chiang Mai was my home.
Well, you know, we do have quite a few people on Maui. I know Tim from Polly's goes down there, and of course, Sam, your friend Sam, and many others go down to Thailand and fall in love with it. And a couple of people I know, like you, have decided to live there. And I mean, I've actually considered it. But when you first went, were you just checking it out to see if you wanted to live there? Or did you know?
No, that? I wasn't thinking about living there at all. Sam was encouraging me, Sam Vessel, to visit Chiang Mai.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she would mention it, my truth finger would buzz, my little finger. So I said, okay. So I booked. We went together from India. Actually, she went.
From Dharamsala, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She went before I did, but I joined her
uh-huh.
in Chiang Mai.
And it's kind of an international city, isn't it?
Many expats from many countries
uh-huh.
live there.
Including some very nice resort hotels.
Yes.
Some of the big ones are there.
In town and Four Seasons, north of town in the foothills of the mountains.
Uh-huh.
Quite beautiful.
Oh, they're in the foothills of the mountains?
Sure.
Interesting.
Our mountains get up to about 6,000 feet.
Oh, really?
And the city, the river, is at 1,000. So it's substantial.
You're in monsoon season now?
Yes.
I think we might.
Raining a lot.
If anyone followed what happened in Chiang Rai. I thought they've been calling it Chiang Rai. That is where...
The next door province.
That's where the...
About 100 miles from Chiang Mai is where the caves were that the boys got trapped in.
Mm-hmm. And the monsoon was a definite factor involved in the concern of trying to...
Evidently, they were local boys, so mm-hmm. they always visited those caves. Mm-hmm. Every practice season, I think it was kind of R&R for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this time they had bad luck with mm-hmm. the rain.
Yeah, really bad luck. My God, it was miraculous.
Then they kept, you know, going
back
up and back.
Trying to get
this
away from
this was not a good idea.
No, they should have tried to get out before they went up and back, right? Further and further and further. I mean, it was miraculous that they were that long and able to be saved in that situation. Unfortunately, one of the SEAL team guys died in the efforts. Yeah,
it's a miracle that more people didn't die.
There were a lot of people that came together and prayed. It was interesting seeing on TV how the different monks came down, and some of the priests came down and did the prayers there and everything. And I guess that the soccer coach was teaching them to meditate.
Also a good thing.
Yes, definitely.
And now the boys have become monks, temporary monks.
Really?
Yeah, in Buddhism in Thailand, mm-hmm. you can become a monk for a week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or a month or a year.
Huh.
It's a very short-term thing.
Did you ever become a monk for a week?
No.
Okay.
I was a Catholic seminarian for 7 years. That was enough.
Well, it's a little different.
Maybe I'll become a monk, but I don't think it would be for a week if I did.
And it certainly did draw the attention. They're not talking about what they're talking about, making it into a movie or a TV. Oh, yeah, no, they're going to do a whole thing on it and everything. And I guess people are visiting it now, which is like so stupid in my mind. Why would you go through this and then have people come down there? They're going to have to close the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some idiot's going to go in there and try to recreate it or something. You know, you never know, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's like, I don't know. I guess
the monsoon season is going strong.
Yeah, yeah.
So very dangerous.
But you're going back in the monsoon season. You're leaving a week to go back to
yes.
Chiang Mai.
I haven't been since Christmas.
And you have a house there?
Yes, I'm looking forward to gardening.
And you've had that same house the whole time, 10
since
years?
Since 2011.
And how much rent do you pay on the house?
About $280 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus utilities.
You couldn't find anything. You couldn't find a garage to rent here for $280 a month. No, I mean, you couldn't find a garage for
one of the incentives to live yes. in Thailand.
But you have to come and go because you have only a 6-month visa?
I have a 6-month tourist visa where I can come and go at will.
That's good.
Because I'm considering a retirement visa.
And the retirement visa you have to pay money for, right?
You have to have so much in the bank or proof of a certain income level.
Uh-huh.
So if your income is high, then you don't need the bank account statements. Otherwise, you need like $27,000 in the bank.
Really? Okay. Yeah. But people are still coming and moving down there.
Yes.
Baby boomers looking to
the
retire.
The main problem is the air quality.
Oh, really?
The air quality in the spring, the hot season,
yeah.
is not good.
From burning?
Yes. Burning the crops.
You know, I wasn't aware of that. I hadn't heard people talk about
it. It's getting worse
that.
And worse.
Oh, is it really?
The government could use some good agricultural strategy mm-hmm. to dispose of the crops instead of burning.
Yeah.
But they're not doing it yet.
Well, it's the old way of thinking. That's what they used to do. But, yeah.
They're not helping the farmers. They're fining them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the farmers are very poor
uh-huh.
in Thailand, so the cheapest thing is to burn the fields.
Yeah.
But there are ways of converting the corn that the international agribusiness companies are encouraging the farmers to grow.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to convert that into energy.
Mm-hmm. Biodiesel.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are very intelligent people in the area around Chiang Mai
mm-hmm.
who have great ideas of how to reduce the pollution. Mm-hmm. But the government is not in back of this yet. It's all private mm-hmm. enterprise.
So one thing that happens, of course, and I don't even know how large that city is as much as we talk. How big is Chiang Mai as far as
metro? Population? About 1 million.
That much?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's way bigger than Maui. I didn't realize. I was thinking it's about the size population of Maui. I didn't realize
that. The city is about 150,000.
Wow.
And the city is compact.
Uh-huh.
But then the surrounding districts, you know, it's kind of suburban, but actually quite beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Because it's in a valley surrounded by mountains.
Uh-huh.
So.
And it's tropical? All tropical?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the coldest Maui? Temperature, similar. It could get in the upper 40s.
Uh-huh.
In the winter, but then everyone's bundled up in their overcoats, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody has heat at all.
Yeah.
But it can get quite hot, hotter than here.
In March?
In the spring, yes.
Yeah.
Up to 104.
And humidity as well.
Not so much. It's the dry season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it would be the humidity.
No, it's not that bad. Now it's now in it's humidity. Right. But now it's in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
So it's I like the rainy season.
You do?
Yeah.
Not good for bicycling around or something or walking, but I guess people take, you take, what do you take for transportation?
I take an umbrella. I also take tuk-tuks. Now there are hybrid tuk-tuks. Or
hybrid?
Yeah.
Hybrid.
You know, no pollution, no diesel fumes. Uh-huh. So I try to take those whenever possible.
And great restaurants, you love going out, and it's so cheap.
Good Italian, good Japanese, good Vietnamese. I also eat Thai, but, you know, it's like if I want good pad Thai, it costs a dollar around the corner from my house.
Wow.
So it's not a big deal to eat good Thai food.
Wow.
Because you're in Thailand.
Yeah. Whew. Well, so, but you do travel. I mean, you've got a traveling spirit. You are a traveler, and you love traveling, and you travel a lot, and you usually take Korean Airlines to get down to Thailand, don't you? From here you take Korean, and you've been very happy with them.
Honolulu, Incheon, Incheon, Chiang Mai. Yeah, I'm very happy with the level of service, the food. They're usually on time. The seats are comfortable. I like Korean Air.
Yeah. And you've gotten upgraded a few times, which always makes it nice.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. And you fly to Japan? You fly to Korea, and then you fly from Korea to
Chiang Mai.
Right, direct. That's wonderful.
I have not been in the Bangkok airport since 2012.
I was there even further back than that, probably about 2000.
I may go this year.
It's all
because I'm thinking of going
over
to Cambodia.
Uh-huh.
And really, you have to go through Bangkok.
Really?
To get to Cambodia.
That seems roundabout.
Oh, no.
No?
Cambodia is very close to same latitude as Bangkok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you go up to Bangkok and then take a small plane over to Cambodia.
Well, Cambodia is big tourism business, though.
It is, yeah.
Sure.
And where are you going to go in Cambodia?
This time I'm thinking of going to the Killing Fields, which are by the capital, Phnom Penh.
I went there in January.
Yeah. She was
this
on the
January?
This past January, yeah.
How was it?
It was fine, yeah. Well, the weather was, it was hot, but I like
it's
hot.
It's always hot there.
Yeah, and I like hot, so it was good. But very sombering. My husband didn't want to go with me on that, and I was debating whether to go, and our guide, I asked him, and he highly suggested that, you know, even though it's sad, but they want people to know what happened. So we went to the killing field, or one of the killing fields, and then the school that was turned into the prison, and they had some survivors there, and
they talked to you?
No, because he didn't speak English. But I bought a book about it, and I read his story about it. It was sad.
It's more than sad. It was just devastating that could happen in our lifetimes. I'm talking about baby boomer lifetimes, where that could actually happen. And when you see, I've seen pictures of the skulls just lined up. I mean, piles of them. And then so many stories about the fact that they're still trying to clean up a lot of the fields from the explosive in the mines. Is that still happening? Are they still trying to clean it up?
They are. The part that I was really moved about was they had this whole section where the kids were just thrown in, and then people, you would put these little bracelets around the whole fence area, and I happened to have a bracelet, so I stuck one on, but it just gave me chicken skin. It was really sad. They had like a tree where they would just beat the people, and what I couldn't understand was because it's such a, there's a lot of Buddhists, monks there. Like, how could that happen in a country that is primarily Buddhist? But
what is your take on that, Robert?
Cambodia has had a very bloody history, which actually most countries in Southeast Asia have. But I feel that I love Angkor Wat. It was built by slave labor. Mm-hmm. And I think that repression, there's no place for that violence in Buddhism. Mm-hmm. So it got repressed. This mm-hmm. is my take on it. And then it kind of exploded through Pol Pot in a very extreme way. The reason I want to go, and I've always avoided it until now, just because it's so grisly, you know. But I want to go there to do healing. I want to put up columns of light and encourage the trapped souls to leave. I'm planning to go with a friend. We went to Egypt together. We did a lot of energy work in various places together. And she suggested this. It's been, you know how it is when you keep hearing about something mm-hmm. from several different sources.
Yeah.
Like all in the same day. It's like, okay. I really didn't want to go, but I've decided I am.
So when you go to Cambodia, everyone says you've got to go in the morning early, obviously to Angkor Wat. I mean, it's become, unfortunately, I mean, I was listening to the Frommer's radio show, and on the Frommer's show, they're talking about places that are over-touristed. Of course, we know about Cinque Terre, we know about Venice, and Barcelona now, and so many places are, but Angkor Wat's become one of those ones on the list where so many people want to go, and now, I guess with partly because of the cruises and stuff, mm-hmm. that they're getting pretty much overloaded with people wanting to go. So, I mean, if you're on a cruise, you're not going to get there before dawn because people can't get off the ship that early and get there. So I guess the best thing to do, if I'm going to go, I'm going to get there and stay right there. There's a Sofitel, I think, almost.
I love the Sofitel. We stayed there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Almost on the premises, right?
No. It's a little bit.
Did you get up super early to go see it?
We did, yeah.
You did, yeah.
The sunrise.
Was it super crowded already when you went there?
It was crowded. I wouldn't say it was super crowded, but it was crowded. But
But when we have Tom Vendetti, who's been there, he did the film festival there for many years. He says that there's another beautiful group of temples just up the road a little ways that's not overcrowded, so people can find ways. And this is something you have to always think about when you're going to over-touristed place. You got to either go off-season. It's always a key. Don't go when it's top tourist season. And find alternative places around there that may not have been publicized as much. And there are places like that, I guess.
There are many beautiful temple complexes near Angkor Wat.
Mm-hmm,
they're all worth seeing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They keep unearthing them and clearing the jungle. So there's so much to do there.
Mm-hmm.
Angkor Wat is the pinnacle, but there's so much Angkor Thom nearby. There are various hills. They call them Phnom. I love Phnom Kulen. It's my favorite place. It's about a 1,000-foot mountain in a national park about 30 miles to the northeast. And a very, very sacred place. Shiva lingams in the creek.
So it's
been Hindu.
Hindu, no.
They were originally Hindu.
Oh,
when the Khmer culture started, it was Hindu.
I didn't know
then
that.
Then it did an amalgam with Buddhists.
Uh-huh.
It was back and forth, Hindu, Buddhist and combination for a number of centuries. And finally it became Theravada Buddhist in the 15th century.
And when Khmer Rouge came in, what was the religion that was most predominant at that time?
It was Buddhism.
It was Buddhism.
Yeah.
I don't consider
them Buddhist.
Catholic. Yeah, that's what I see. There's, you know, how can we say? There's Buddhists and there's Buddhists, just like there's Christians and there's Christians, you know. And it's a razor's edge sword because you're supposed to you're supposed to be peaceful. And as a pacifist, does that mean you let something happen mm-hmm. where people are being killed? In Buddhism, it's very clear. It's totally against Buddhist precepts to kill, totally against it. But do you have to kill to stop the killing? Then comes the big question. How do you stop killing? You know, when you have something as powerful as that going on, you know, and I'm sure there were many Buddhist monks probably killed too. There were a lot of educated people who were killed as well.
They targeted the educated because they were communists mm-hmm. of an extreme sect. Mm-hmm. So they really wanted to eliminate the intelligentsia. Mm-hmm. That was their main agenda.
And they did. They wiped out a whole group. And so it's interesting. It's still the after effects of that, as probably you saw, Kathy. I mean, there's a whole generation that was kind of wiped out. And it's mm-hmm. starting over again with all these beautiful young children who never, of course, knew about it, but are surrounded by the after effects, right? So
yeah, they said that everybody has somebody that was affected by mm-hmm. that. And like our guide and some of the other people that I had talked to, they're very forgiving about that. You mm. know, they just, I don't know, I would have a little bit of a hard time, I think.
Well, again, that might be the Buddhist, and again, a way of survival, because if you're going to be angry, mm-hmm. and boy, you'd have another generation wiped out, right? Because mm-hmm. that's going to affect you. I mean, when you have that kind of massive amount of devastation, I mean, mm-hmm. what do you do? I mean, the Buddhism yeah. acceptance is very key. Vietnam is, you were there 10 years ago in Vietnam, but that's another issue as well. I mean, how do people in Vietnam, you were just there in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And again, we were talking, Robert and I were talking about whether people are still angry in Vietnam. And you sensed that in some places 10 years ago.
In the north, I did, mm-hmm. in Hanoi. Mm-hmm. I did not feel welcomed as an American at all.
We went to Hanoi and total opposite. They were really? Very, very friendly. So that's
tourism.
Really liked Hanoi.
See, now that's cruises and tourism, mm-hmm. I think, that might have made the difference in the 10 years, because now it's a popular tourist destination. Mm-hmm. And they know it's bringing money in. They're getting the nice after effects of the financial incomes, right, with some of
they
the...
They are, mm-hmm, yeah.
The restaurants and the hotels and places are probably doing better than they've ever done before. So that might be a key there. You didn't like down...
Saigon or Ho Chi Minh. It was just a big city, you know, which is crazy, crazy, crazy. Mm-hmm. I liked Hanoi. Felt a little more local, I guess. Even though it was a busy, crowded place, it was... I just liked the feel of it more, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's more beautiful, I think, mm-hmm. than...
Yeah.
Did you go to Myanmar? You didn't go to
no,
Myanmar in your
but that's
cruise.
Another place. Speaking well, the Buddhists are
yes.
and that like
the Buddhists are persecuting the Muslims.
Right? Yes. I don't get that.
I know. It's only because there's certain people.
Yeah.
That are in control always. It always comes down to the people who control the situation.
Yeah.
And that.
No,
but Burma, the Burmese, yeah. the dominant ethnic group.
Uh-huh.
They are very militant. They want their country for Buddhists and for Burmese.
Yeah.
And yet, when I went last November, I had a Muslim tour guide, but my driver was Muslim, and he was from the new capital. I cannot remember the name, but it's not Yangon. It's a new city. So he was kind of cosmopolitan, sophisticated, but he liked, this was in Tongji in Shan State. He liked it there. Sense mm-hmm. of community. He took me to Muslim restaurants. People treated me very well. And we went to all the Buddhist caves, you know, where they put statues of Buddha and temples and things inside the caves. And here's this foreigner and this Muslim, and we're posing, and the nobody bothered us.
Yeah.
You know. So I felt personally, I've always felt a lot of freedom there. But they broadcast the Dharma at dawn or on loudspeakers.
Really?
It's like being in China under Mao, you know.
I'm only shocked that they act. I've never heard of a place doing that.
Very, very loudly at dawn in the temple in the middle of town, one smaller city in Shan State. It's like you could not sleep.
Do you think that's because, like, the Muslims were doing the call to prayer and they were doing it to counteract
I
the Muslims' way of
the call
yes. to prayer, right?
But the call to prayer only lasts for 5 minutes. This was going on for an hour and a half. I like the call to prayer. In Chiang Mai, I hear the call to prayer from the mosque down the street five times a day. Uh-huh. And then the dogs start barking. Uh-huh. Muslims don't like dogs, you know, in general.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I can understand why. Hearing the barking at the call to prayer, I felt, these dogs have no respect. They're dogs, you know. But some of the dogs next door, the foreigners who live next door, right next to the madrasa, the Muslim school, I think they encourage their dogs to...
To bark?
To bark, yes.
But
probably give them treats, you know.
Of all the time I've followed Buddhism, I've never heard it being broadcast. I mean, that's like kind of... That's very strange.
But all over the planet, people are polarizing. It's wow. It's a global tendency. Mm-hmm. The Buddhists are becoming more hardline Buddhists. You know, the Christian fundamentalists, the Jewish fundamentalists. It's, you know, the fights in India between the Hindus and Muslims. It's everywhere.
Do you see the tourism factor influencing Myanmar since you went? You've been to Myanmar a few times now, right?
Yes. I think that maybe the Burmese want to maintain their traditional culture in the face of more tourism mm-hmm. and democracy. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot more freedom there mm-hmm. than there used to be. That's my speculation. But all that said, it's a growing country economically. It's expansive. I like Myanmar. I like it a lot.
And it's become a cruise destination, isn't it? Some of the cruise lines go there, don't they? They do tours, mm-hmm. excursions yeah. there, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So that will change it. I mean, that, you know, wherever you have tourism, there's things that change.
They have their little Riviera that's beginning to develop on the coast near Yangon. And I think the cruise ships probably will be going in there.
Huh. So because there's building kind of going in to support that.
Yes.
The dollar signs are being seen already.
Yes.
Yes.
They prefer dollars.
So now
more than chat.
You know, Cambodia is like that. You can just, yeah. just the dollars.
Yeah. So one of the things on that report I was talking about earlier with the cruise lines, they're finding that indeed, and of course, as you know, then we all know that more and more tourists want to do things that haven't been done before. The X factor of going beyond where everyone else mm-hmm. is. This is already a little late, but a lot of people going to the Antarctic, of course, you know, and taking trips to places. However, that's now becoming kind of common. So if you go to places like I know you go, when you go to Myanmar, you go up to other places, again, outside your typical places, and you don't really ever feel afraid when you go outside the city, kind of into the hills or the different groups, do you?
I haven't been to areas there where there was fighting. Mm-hmm. I may go to a different state in Myanmar mm-hmm. on the border with Thailand where there is still civil war because I have good contacts. And we'll see if that happens. If it happens, I will report to you on this. Mm-hmm.
You don't carry a gun when you're traveling.
No, I do not.
It is interesting because, of course, it does make a difference. That's a different language. What language do they speak in Myanmar?
They speak Burmese.
They have their own language?
Yes.
So you don't speak that, so you'd have to.
No.
But do they understand the Thai language? What do you call the Thai language?
Well, some understand Thai, but yeah. English is pretty common.
Oh, really?
It was part of British India mm-hmm. in colonial times.
That's a good point.
You know.
That's a good point.
They all had to learn to speak like this.
And speaking of that, we were talking before you went in there, he wants to go to Singapore. And you have not been to Singapore before.
Not yet, no.
But it's pretty easy for you to get there.
I'm afraid I might gain weight. Because I hear the food is so great.
The food is great. The food is great. It's there's lovely old hotels. Of course, Raffles is so famous and everything. But there's other lovely hotels. Raffles has gotten over the top, outrageous expensive. But, I mean, it's a fascinating city. A beautiful city, very modern now, but also the ancient, and like we're saying, we had a lovely hotel to stay in, but it was one of the old English-style hotels, but you go to one of the transportation down the metro, and you land up in one stop and you can see the old city and its temples and Buddhism, and you literally are in a street that is like not a fake Chinatown, but a really Chinatown kind of feeling, you know, about it. And again, it's just fascinating to see, actually. And I love some of the modern places they had. Those two. Have you been to Singapore, Kathy?
As a child, I haven't been back since.
No, I mean, it's pretty amazing. They have two domes, and they're hemispheres that are created with their own interior weather systems and everything. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Huge waterfalls and ferns and flowers. And
butterflies. There's a butterfly thing.
It's amazing.
I had clients go there.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And not hard to get there. I mean, and you know, you can get there pretty easily. I think it'll be interesting for you. I mean, because you do travel in Asia quite a bit, but you don't usually go to... What are the other areas that you like to travel from Thailand to go to? Are those pretty much the ones that you go to Cambodia?
I like Laos, but feel like I've seen enough of that for a while. Mm-hmm. I'd like to revisit Vietnam very much. Mm-hmm. Malaysia, I was not that crazy about.
Yeah.
Too much ethnic tension.
Is there?
Yeah, between the Indians, Chinese, and the Malays.
They've had bad luck with airplane crashes, too. I haven't had one in a few months, but they were going through a series of plane crashes that I always wonder if they were allowing those lithium batteries to be shipped back and forth.
Well, they didn't find that one. It's still missing.
I know. I was on a cruise during that time, and I actually saw smoke in the sky afterwards, and I took pictures of it, and I'm sure it was before they even reported it. I'm sure it was when it was going down and everything, because we were just in that area there. Mm. And I'm thinking it's lithium batteries that they were transporting, and now they know, of course. But, you know, you could see the tendency if they were going to try to ship these things and getting a good amount of money for them where they could do that. But, no, there was a few plane crashes that went down for a while there, and I think three
One was, shot down by the Russians.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Okay. Maui to Singapore. Okay, thank you, John. Oh, this is a good price. Maui to Singapore for $875. Did you
Very good.
Did you book it? Oh, okay. You could do it on miles. That's a good one.
Yeah.
$875.
Which airline?
And that's a lot of miles. You'll get some good miles on this. United.
Oh.
Because he's a United frequent flyer.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, one year that's why we went to Singapore. It's the end of the year, needed some extra miles, and did it. In fact, that was one of the first times I did the upgrade to business class, and I was really disappointed because it was a lay-down bed, but it was facing the people in the economy section, and they were not closing the thing, and literally everyone there was just staring right in your face because I was in the back, and you're sitting there, and they're all just looking at you, and you're trying to lay down, and the drapes were open, and it was rather uncomfortable. Not only that, there was someone on the other side, so you have someone literally, I had someone sleeping like 3 inches, two inches from me.
Them rear facing and forward facing.
It was very awkward, actually.
But I don't think I would fly United.
No, I mean, don't get the last seat, the back seat, right? You know, you don't want, I mean, I would not get a rear facing back seat if I was going to do an upgrade again like that. I'm just saying.
I would probably fly Korean.
Yeah, generally the international carriers are better as far as.
Yeah, some of them are.
Looking forward to the food.
I think Singapore Airlines.
Looking forward to the lounge in Honolulu.
Isn't the Singapore Airlines
so many miles.
Also excellent? Isn't there Singapore Airlines that's supposed to be excellent as well?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. I got a request to sign up for the credit card on American Airlines, and it was like 55,000. No, it was more like 60,000 miles. You signed up and you have
the bonus miles.
The bonus miles if you spend X amount of money. It's a pretty good deal. A week or so ago, we had our friend Georgia and Tom Vendetti and Lama Gyaltsen in the studio. Not on this show, but it was on my other show on Tuesday. And they were planning to do a special fundraiser for the Maui Dharma Center. And they do have that booked right now. I just saw Georgiana Cook. Georgiana came in and was saying, it's selling well. There's some tickets still left. It's at the McCoy Theater at 7 o'clock. And Tom Vendetti's film, Mount Kailash, is this called The Journey to the Center of the... You have tickets? What's it called?
Journey to the Center? I'm going to get your tickets.
Yeah, I mean,
Journey to the Center of the Universe.
Yeah, and it's
7 p.m.
I think they've sold 100 tickets so far. So
might send us a reminder.
Yeah. Doors open at 6:30.
And the show starts at 7, and it's a benefit. And Lama Gyaltsen will be there. Lama Gyaltsen will be talking about the trip. And
that is a place I would love to...
Mount Kailash?
Yes, circumnavigate.
You should do that. You should do that, definitely. If you, I mean, that is... He's done it 2 or 3 times now, gone to Mount Kailash. And it's rather arduous. You'll see. They document it very well in the movie, and they'll tell you what it takes to get there. 3 days.
Maybe in my next life.
I don't know. I mean, it might be something you want to do. I mean, it's supposed to be a journey where you know, one of those karmic things. You're not working off karma.
Sounded hard.
Yes, I agree. It did sound difficult. I mean, that is probably the reason I didn't do it.
All the momos you can eat.
Momos are what?
Tibetan dumplings.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, I had chai a lot when I was there. I mean, definitely a lot of chai. And I love chai. I don't know about momos. I don't remember the momos. It's been a while since I was
I don't think they're vegetarian.
No, they're not. No, actually, they're not. A lot of people assume that Tibetans are vegetarians. They're not. No, they eat meat.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a cold climate.
And Lama Gyaltsen eats meat, too. You'd think if you're a llama, you don't, but no, he eats.
Yaks? Is that what they eat?
Yeah, they eat yaks.
Do they eat yaks?
I like yak.
Really? Yeah. Seriously?
I just assumed that's what
they would
eat.
They're so cute.
Like beef.
Oh, they're so cute. You'll see pictures of these yaks are worth a lot of money. I can't see eating them because they use them for tourism. I mean, they take care of
them. Use them for milk.
Yeah, they
cheese.
Do. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, you can go and get your tickets if you go to the MAC or call 242-SHOW and get tickets. I'm going to go. You're going to go. You're going to go. We're gonna
going
to all be there. Mm-hmm. We'll have a whole group of people, and there'll be wonderful people there as well. So we're very excited about that. And we're just about out of time. I want to thank you. It's always interesting talking to you, Robert. People can contact you where?
At 268-8047. That's my American number, area code 808. Or zarobert@aol.com. My new improved website is zarobert.com.
And that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for listening, and a big aloha.